Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever. I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And we have a super, super, super special guest. We've had her on so many times, and I just feel like we really just missed her, and a lot's happened in her life since. And so the person that I am dragging on too long is our favorite registered dietitian, Tracy Lockwood Beckerman. Welcome, Tracy.
Hey, guys. It is so nice to interact with humans today that are over the age of 4 months.
Oh my gosh. You know what I've been thinking about? Like every week we drag out the, who will the guest be? They can read it in the fucking description.
I was thinking that while I was saying it, but
I'm like,
it's
they
fun.
Clicked this probably because they saw her name.
Well, the Shay Mitchell episode like really was like a dragged out guess who this could possibly be. And then like, we're listening to Shay Mitchell, guys.
Yeah, it says it in the title.
And Mindy. That was also another good experience.
Well, for some insider info, we recorded those intros after before. No, did we do it before?
We did it right after.
Right after. So yeah. We wanted it to be like, get like the excitement going, you know, because we just came off of those two interviews.
But you guys are also giving teasers on Instagram probably before you record it. Yeah.
Stop talking shit, Tracy.
My mind.
No, it's also like we promote the episodes. we got you to watch it, to listen because of the person. And then we waste 5 minutes. And here we are again.
Okay, it's exciting.
Okay, so Tracy, how are you like feeling? You are a new mother.
I am a new mom.
Pandemic motherhood and everything.
It's better than you guys could even imagine.
Better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine I can now talk to my daughter and tell her that she was birthed during a pandemic. Like, that's crazy. That she's part of history.
Right.
But what I went through in the hospital having to birth her with a mask on is part of something that could be written in a history book.
They made you keep the mask on?
Yes.
Of course. Yes. What was that like? She would be getting droplets everywhere.
They test everyone.
They test you. They're all, but like for everyone's sake of being safe, and there's so many people in the room that you need to basically protect them because they're hopping in and out of 100 different rooms at a time.
True. Okay, wait. So, first of all,
congratulations.
Yeah, right? Thank you. First of all. I know it's I can't even express like what it's like being a mom and how like this love is just immediate. You think that like you love your husbands, you love your family, and then all of a sudden you're like, I love this little thing that just grew inside of me, and now you're holding, you're like, I love you. Okay, thank you. It makes you weird.
I don't even know.
If you don't.
That sounds crazy.
It is. It is.
But it's kind of crazy though, because like you've been talking about your book, which is about getting your period and about like eventually conceiving and all of that. And now like you're here, you've had a kid. What does that feel like? Like that full circle feeling?
I feel like the journey and the path that somebody has to parenthood is just so unique. Everyone goes through so much. Rarely you hear about, I got pregnant my first try. Like it's rarely that type of story these days. And it's a good thing because we're talking about it, which means that you set your expectations differently, but you're also like, you're ready for the journey because everyone has one. No matter what it is, everyone has a journey unique to their own.
Okay, so will you tell us what's like the real deal? How are you feeling? Like, what were you really feeling like leading up to giving birth? What are you feeling after? Like, obviously, yeah, you thought, like, you love your daughter. She's really sweet. I was looking at her on Instagram the other day when you were all four generations of your fam. That was really cute.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so like, what is like the truth behind
your daughter on Instagram?
I mean, it's not like I'm stalking a stranger. Like, I know you. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, I want that.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like this is why people can talk about motherhood in so much detail, because there's so much that goes on. You are going through such a seismic shift in your entire life. Everything is different. And leading up to having her, you're filled with the emotional aspect of my life's going to change. My life's going to change. I'm going to miss this old life. Am I getting in all of the things that I want to get out of my system? And doing that during a pandemic when you really can't do anything to get out of your system is very difficult. Like, for instance, bucket list things that you want to do to experience, you can't do, or you couldn't do.
Is there anything you felt like you missed?
I mean,
like, should I just so I can try to fit it in, like, between post-pandemic and eventual, conception.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, traveling is on the list of things to do, which you can't, like, going out with your friends, like, all of those things are just not applicable in this day and age. But I would say enjoying, the only thing that you have to worry about is yourself, your partners, your family, and then all of a sudden, you have to worry about your child for the rest of your life. So that that quietness is gone. The moment you become pregnant, that quietness is gone.
So the moment you became pregnant, let's quickly, cause I'm sure a lot of people are like, I've talked about wanting to get pregnant. When we started 2021 podcast. So of DST. So like, how does, just to talk about eating and stuff, cause we've always talked about that. You're a dietitian. How does eating change the moment you become pregnant, and has it changed like since becoming a mom?
Yeah. So the moment you become pregnant and your life, like I said, changes, but to be honest, like, the fun is over when it comes to food because A, you're not drinking, you're done. And you're also, the next step of it is you're in like this meal optimization, food safety mode. Am I eating the right meals for my baby? Am I eating the right snacks for my baby? Is this food safe? Is this going to optimize her? So that awareness is 24/7. You think that it's before you have like your baby, you're constantly thinking about food. You're constantly thinking about food when you're pregnant, and you're constantly thinking about your food postpartum too. So it doesn't go away. It's just a different type of mentality. This, like, I describe it as like this another level of awareness, because it's not for you anymore. It's for your baby. So you're really trying to do your best.
Like, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about like your own feelings about what you want to eat, or are you like, what's constantly on your mind when it comes to eating?
Well, for me, this was my pregnancy. I felt like I didn't have much nausea. A lot of people are just so, they can't stand the foods that they normally would eat, and the foods that they would hate, they actually enjoy. So I found that my aversions were actually things that I used, or I should say the things that I disliked, I then started to like again, and vice versa. So that kind of was like, for instance, I love, love, love eating peppers. I hate them. Like, I hate them with such like authority. And I just like couldn't stop eating peppers. And right now, like, I'm enjoying peppers for some reason. So that shifted. And then the other side of it, like, I loved eating like mushrooms and cucumbers and like carrots and even like pasta with butter, like, obviously, duh. But all of those were like wet foods, and I could not stand it. It was terrible.
Pasta with butter.
Oh my gosh.
Like, pasta with butter.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yes. And it changes like throughout the whole entire, like, you have three different types of experiences. You have your first, second, and third trimester. So all of those bring different experiences. But something unique happened to me in the second trimester, which really threw me for a loop, which I'm glad to be able to talk about this here, was I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes in my second trimester, which really was an extremely emotional thing to go through. It was very scary. And I was so confused on what the fuck to do.
Why do people get gestational diabetes? Like, why does that happen?
With me.
So, like, the.
She said it kept her thin. It's fucked up.
Well, there's a lot of layers to why somebody can get gestational diabetes. It's one is because of the nutrition of the food that they're eating. Perhaps they're having too much sugar, too many carbs. That's like the basic one. The second one of it is that it could be hereditary. It runs in my family. So I was already predisposed to possibly having it. And then the third part of it, which I learned about later, was that it can actually be related to stress, because we know how cortisol can actually lead to insulin resistance in the body. And that was also like another factor that was aiding in the diagnosis. I got it done twice, the test. I didn't believe it. I wasn't gaining a ton of weight. Yeah, of course, I was eating like carbs and pasta, and like I do that stuff normally. So it's not like there would be such a big difference.
Right.
But I felt like this was wrong, and it wasn't wrong. I listened to my body was literally talking to me and saying, you need to make a change. You need to do something. So I met with a nurse to help me with understanding the things I could do. I met with a dietitian who I pretended not to be one, because I felt like we're not competing authorities here. I'm a student. I want to listen. I want to learn.
And what'd you tell her you do?
Well, we curious. Didn't talk about it.
Instagram but, model.
this happens like actually in real life when I really don't want to say what I do. I say that I work in textiles.
Interesting. So what if someone's like, what if someone starts asking you for textile advice?
Like, or like, what does that mean?
That's the thing. You say nothing.
They don't know.
No, like what you just said, you said interesting. Like there's no like, oh my God, I want to tell you all about textiles. It's like in Seinfeld when you're like an importer exporter. There's no follow-up question to it.
That's but what if so somebody's funny. Like, oh,
someone is what if my
what if you're like, they're like, oh, my husband's in textiles. Where do you work?
What you're do you, like, oh, I consult for, you know, big corporations around the world. I travel all the time.
Oh, you're a great liar.
You guys, I have
really
to be.
Really an RD, Tracy. Do you really work in textiles? And you've been just fooling us.
You guys know it. You guys know it. But
that is
just,
so funny.
I felt like.
How'd you come up with that one?
You know, I'm creative. I have a lot of time. I have a lot of time on my hands. So anyway, so when I met with this RD, I really just, I wanted to listen because I was scared. I was confused, and I did this for a living, and I was not able to manage it myself. So I went through all of the foods with her. Yeah. I mean, you have to, it's very individualized. For me, I had to count my carbohydrates. I had to log every single food that I was eating. I basically was following like a keto diet while I was pregnant. And you guys know my thoughts about the keto diet. Like it is.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like that type of eating for my blood sugar management and the health of my baby was the best thing for me to do.
Wow.
So what did you have when you wanted something sweet? Just curious. Because I feel, I worry that I will have this problem since my mom did.
I know.
No, I feel like I'm concerned about this because of how my mother had it. And I just assume I just assume everything that happened to her will happen to me.
Yeah.
So what did you eat?
Well, that's a good point, because I would say it's like the statistic is real. 10 million women get gestational diabetes, and 50% of those women are likely to get type 2 diabetes later in life. So
fabulous.
It's great. Like it's, but you know what? This is good. I'm glad that it happened. So now I can talk about it and help more people who are going through this. So for the sweet things that I would have to eat, it's sad. I was putting, so you like, for instance, in the morning, I would have like a Greek yogurt with a ton of nuts, peanut butter, and I would use like vanilla extract as my sweetness and cinnamon. Like that was it.
Sorry.
No, and that's
it's
the
over,
thing. Like
it's over.
Over. Like you feel like this sucks, but a part of you is like, it's not me anymore.
Yeah.
It's not.
You do anything.
Like you're so scared of what could potentially happen in that moment to your baby. You're freaked out. It's terrible. So it doesn't matter if it tastes like shit because you know that your blood sugar is going to be okay after that.
Right. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure a lot of people think that like gestational diabetes only happens like to like if you're in a bigger body or something. Right. But like, thank you for sharing that. Like, I mean, everybody, you know, you're not. And so like, that's kind of just like a myth.
Yeah, exactly. And just like to just add that I was doing the food diet management. I was exercising, stress relief. I still had to go on insulin at the end of it. So it was, you can make as many adjustments to your body that you potentially, that you have the power to, and it may not even be enough. So getting through that type of like swallowing that pill was really difficult and you want to fight it and you're like, this is not fair. But once again, like you get over that once you realize that you're putting your baby at a higher risk. So you make these changes and you just, you move forward.
And then you have to do that the whole time till the end. And then when you have the baby, it goes away.
So the hope is that it goes away. And then you get tested in 6 to 12 weeks afterwards. You do a glucose test and you hope, you know, you fingers crossed that it goes away. It went away for me, but I have to get tested again in a year. And this will be something that I'm going to be constantly thinking about. So it's a good thing because like I said, I do have this run in my family and maybe if I didn't get this diagnosis, I would just have ignored it until it became a bigger problem.
Right.
Wow.
That's crazy. Thanks for sharing though.
Yeah.
I'm scared of that. My 23andMe told me that I'm highly likely for type 2 diabetes later in life. So I was whatever.
I know. And right. Like you learn about these things, you could only do what you can do and it may not be enough. And learning to be okay with that is a really big mental challenge to take on.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there and I've even made a few purchases from there and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Where did you get like advice from? Like who did, other than your like dietitian when it came to gestational diabetes, but like all the other emotional pieces and physical pieces, like who did you look for advice from? How did you deal with it like during the pandemic, especially?
Yeah. So I had a support group of people that were also pregnant during the pandemic. So I felt like I unloaded a lot on them.
What do you mean support group?
I joined a virtual support group through a like a motherhood center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we met once a week and then we talked about like things that were going on. And then you just continue the conversation as you enter new challenges. Like every week, there's always something that's going on. And then I worked individually with a social worker to help me. One with like the diagnosis of the gestational diabetes was really tough, but also without that, there was already so much anxiety about being a new mom, being a parent, having to care for an individual for the rest of your life that you just, you may not feel 100% there when you're pregnant. And that's okay. Like that's, I've learned that like, that's okay that you don't feel those maternal feelings when you're pregnant. You feel it eventually, but some people don't. And that's okay.
Right. Cause I mean, it's not, nothing's really changed technically. Right. Except like you're just growing a belly.
No, yeah. It's changed. I don't think nothing's changed. Like no, there's another human in the room.
When you're pregnant.
No, I know. I don't think that nothing's changed when you're pregnant. I feel like when you're pregnant, it's like you're rolling down a hill and there's like no stopping in a good way. But like happening.
But you could, there's could feel disconnected because technically nothing's like, there's no person that just stands next to you that you have to take care of. You're still taking care of yourself.
Right.
Okay, but you have that, like you said, the emotional burden of motherhood starts the moment that you find out you're pregnant. It's not when the baby comes. It's the moment that you conceive and then you find out that you're, or that you go through IVF, IUI, whatever it is, and then you find out you're pregnant.
I find it great that you like joined a support group. I've literally never heard anybody do that. So what made you reach out and find one?
I was lost. Like I didn't want to talk to friends. I didn't want to Google things. I didn't want to talk to my family about this. I talked to my husband about it and he was there for me. And he probably was like, I think he suggested that I can only offer my support, but I have no idea what you're going through. Let's see if there's something out there. And then a quick Google search and then I found people.
That's amazing. Are there things, so I just, cause you're talking about gestational diabetes and the support group. I feel like there are lots of things that are like taboo or not taboo, but just people that don't talk about pregnancy, or postpartum or some things that people don't talk about either during pregnancy, postpartum or like breastfeeding. Cause I know you did a video about breastfeeding the other day or a picture and the caption was great.
A lot of nips. I mean, the nipples are out constantly. So with like starting with pregnancy, everyone thinks it's a beautiful time. It's great. And it truly is like this miracle that is happening when you look down is just mind boggling. But you don't realize that you could be constipated for like 2 weeks. That's very common. Your nipples are like extremely sensitive. Yeah, your boobs are huge, but like you're sensitive in a way that you've never been before. Everyone says like, now is the time to rest and sleep. Okay, try to do that, but put like a watermelon in your stomach, rest it on your bladder, and then go to a side because you can't sleep on your back. So you're not comfortable. Like there's so many different types of physical challenges. And of course, like the emotional challenge of it too.
Maybe I'll get like Avi that thing in 10 Things I Hate About You, where she makes the dad makes the daughter wear the belly. And it's like, this is all I'm experiencing.
Think about this. Think about this when you date my daughter.
Like you have to wear this around the house for a week and then talk to me.
Right. Oh yeah. She wears it. Right. Yeah. It's totally. So like that is, I think more people are talking about how pregnancy is like, you have the glow, like, yeah, you have the glow because you're sweating and then you're cold. Like it just, all these different body temperatures are happening. It's a journey. Everyone goes through it differently. Like I'm just only speaking on behalf of what I went through, but and then the stretch marks, like the varicose veins, the added weight, like there's a lot of things that you go through during pregnancy.
Do you think that having had the benefit of yo-yo dieting and my stomach expanding and contracting so many times in my life, that maybe that will prevent as bad stretch marks?
I think it really comes down to genetics.
Yeah, my 23andMe also told me that I'm prone to stretch marks.
That's really funny. You know what? Like,
are you kidding?
You're growing a baby.
No, that can't be a characteristic that people
are asking. The characteristics of 23andMe are wild.
They're crazy. They're like,
carrots.
Like your second toe, the chance of your likelihood of your second toe being longer than your first toe, whatever it's called, thumb.
But yeah, so during like postpartum, another thing that people don't talk about is, you know, your bladder has had a lot of pressure on for the last nine months, 10 months, some say. So, you know, you're also having a weak bladder and you're peeing all the time. You're peeing when you're sneezing, you're peeing when you're laughing. Like there's just a lot of pee.
Oh, like yeah. What's coming out of you? Okay.
Yes.
Not the baby.
No, not you.
There's also the pee from the pee.
Always no, the pee from the, yeah, you're just like, there's a lot of pee in general from a lot of parties.
Right.
The baby doesn't pee inside you. What?
No, like when it, once it's out.
Oh. No, postpartum. We moved on to postpartum.
I'm mixing the whole experience. Like I'm not thinking pregnancy only. I'm thinking just the whole
Is giving misinformation.
I'm not. The baby doesn't pee inside. Obviously the baby doesn't pee inside you. Honestly.
The baby excretes. The baby does pee. It's all in like in the womb. It's contained in the umbilical cord. I don't know exactly, no, but your baby does have excretion.
So where does that go?
I feel like it can get filtered. I honestly wish I knew.
Well, we should Google that afterwards.
Well, we just got a puppy, so I'm getting used to a lot of pee being everywhere. Like fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
That puppy is some birth control, let me tell you that.
Larry the birth control?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you personally gotten really good advice along the way in terms of just things that you didn't know that would happen that you could share with other people listening or hosting?
Yeah. Particularly you guys. My advice is honestly just to be flexible. It is like one of the hardest things that you could go through, especially if you set rules and expectations and they don't go as planned, because nothing that you prepare for will go as planned.
Okay. So what, like what? My mom said the same thing. She's an OBGYN. She's like everyone with their plans and their birthing plans. It never goes that way.
No. Yeah. And that's like, right. You have the birth plan. You only want to exclusively breastfeed for 6 months. Like that doesn't go to plan. Like you aren't going to get an epidural. Like that doesn't go the way that you think. Like all of those things that people are really trying to do, which is great. Like I applaud setting goals, but you have to be okay with what happens when it doesn't happen.
Right.
Like we often joked about like living in the gray when we talked about
the pink.
Yes. Yeah, so it's now the pink, obviously not because we had a baby girl, but what I mean is that you have to be okay with there not being rules, these are the 10 things that you need to do in order to be a successful mother. No. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it sort of makes a lot of sense because, and this is kind of always what I think about when I'm like, there's no way I could be a mother. There's no way I can get pregnant. All this shit. I'm like, okay, well, people have been doing this for literally since the human
beginning existed. Of time.
Right. Since the existence of humanity, people have been doing this and they didn't have like their breast pumps and they didn't have like their epidurals and they didn't have all this stuff. So like, yes, it's great to have them, but we are designed to do all of this without anything. So like, I think that like reminding yourself of that, like when things get a little gray,
messy,
might help because it's like, you can do it all without the stuff. The stuff is just like extra and helpful.
Right. Right. Yeah, it doesn't, it's not necessary. It's literally not necessary,
but we could be grateful for it because like when we were during a time when we didn't have the stuff, there was less right. successful situations, right? Like
right.
in all of it. So we could just be happy that we have it and like thankful for like the medicine, like the shit that my mom tells me that they could do is insane. And like, I've like talked to, and when she says like things that they couldn't do even just like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you couldn't find out like the gender of your kid. You couldn't find out, like they didn't know really about genetic testing, none of that. So it's pretty amazing how far.
Like we are better for all of those things.
Right.
But it
could get you crazy. It could make you crazy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the more information that you're given, that overload can be paralyzing for some people. So like another big thing I've learned in all of this is you can prepare, you can read, you can talk to your friends, you could talk to whoever you want, and none of it may be applicable to you and your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right.
Yeah, give us an example.
So, like, from the start, I was always told, like, pacifiers, they're just like the best thing. Like, they calm your baby down. It's going to help your baby go to sleep, like all these things. So of course, like, being type A, I got probably like 10 different types of pacifiers, like ones that glowed in the dark, ones that rested on her chest, ones like all these stupid shit, things that are like organic and like things that aren't, like, whatever. The moment that Ella was born, I was like, oh my God, this is great. We get to try it out. She's crying. And she spit it out. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, let me try the other one. I went through 10 of them and she did not want one of them. So,
oh wow.
That's just an example of, you know, you set yourself up for something you think is going to happen and then it doesn't. And now we're just like, okay, she doesn't use a pacifier when she's crying. It's a pain, but she's better for it because she doesn't want it. I'm not going to force her to do something that she does not want to do.
Right. Right. I happen to love the name Ella. I actually ran it by Avi. He was like, no,
but no. I do love Why? Ella Sage. Power.
I even threw in a middle name, but he also hated the middle name.
How did you choose the name, your baby's name? Was that difficult?
Very difficult. Difficult.
How long did it take to decide?
So we
and
had
what
a lot
made
of
you decide.
We had a lot of time, Scott and I, to just like sit and be with each other during the pregnancy. True. So we went through a ton of names. We knew we needed the letters E and D to name after grandparents who've passed away. So that narrowed the window for us. And I loved the name. I love the name Davy. So that's her middle name. I felt like it was so really cute. Strong. I think it's cute. Like it's just easy. And we were also watching like Schitt's Creek a lot. So I was like, David, like it just felt like that would be fun. But then I didn't want it to be confusing for her. Obviously, like, down the road, like whatever happens with her, like name spelling, like I just felt like she'd have to explain herself a lot. So we wanted a name that she didn't have to explain much. And that was easy to spell.
I love that name. So pretty.
Really cute name. That's really
Thanks,
sweet.
Thanks, guys. And it's really trendy these days, you know? Kamala's dog.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
I have a question about like mom guilt. Mm. Do you experience it and what do you do about it? Assuming you experience it, maybe you're a unicorn who doesn't.
I don't know. So I would say for right now for my life, the biggest like guilt that I'm dealing with is breastfeeding, because there are moments where, I mean, breastfeeding is the hardest thing. Like, nobody talks about how to set yourself up for breastfeeding after you deliver a baby, because it's just all too much. The idea of having a baby is too much. And then adding breastfeeding on top of that is just a very difficult task. So you figure it out with anything in life. You figure it out, you do your best. But the challenge that comes with it is, you know, the milk supply. That's like a very real thing. It's either sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we supplement with formula. So initially that guilt came in. What happened with Ella, which also was very unique to our experience, is that she was born with jaundice. And jaundice is basically, it's treatable, it's great, but for a newborn, it can be dangerous because their body needs to flush out toxins of, it's called bilirubin, which is produced by the liver. And the way that you flush this out for a newborn is you basically give them food, you give them formula, you give them breast milk. So at the time, like, you just deliver a baby, your milk supply may not be enough for her to go and pass this out of her system. So without a question, you know, the doctor's like, okay, let's get some formula. And I was like, great. Like, if this is going to be for the health of Ella, like 100%. So I'm going to talk more about this, because I feel like this idea, it's called topping off, which means that you breastfeed and then you give formula afterwards to top it off, to ensure that your baby had enough, to ensure that if your baby wants some more afterwards, it's given that opportunity. Of course, she could be like, no, I'm good. But other times she could be like, yes, like, whatever just came out of you wasn't enough and I need five of those. So So we had that exposure to formula quite early on for her, which allowed me to get more comfortable with the idea of giving her that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, I generally, when I've heard of mom guilt, it a lot comes in with the breastfeeding, because there's like, there's also this like emotional piece of like, I can't supply for my baby the way I need to. But like, I don't know, like, I feel like it's so normal to formula feed, and like, there's so much drama around breastfeeding that is like, it's unfair so to women. It's like, you're it's out of me. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's just sort of the most ridiculous, like, judgmental corner of the internet. And like, it's so true. Stay away from.
Yes, because everyone has their opinions. And the phrase that we've all heard, I'm sure, breast is best, it needs to be,
I've like, heard fed is best.
Out. Fed is best is the face. There you go. Yeah. You're part of this corner.
Betch's mom. Betch's mom. No, I'm not. I just follow Betch's moms, you know, there on you Instagram. Go. Also, my mom's told me that I would not breastfeed. Like, I was completely formula fed. I have a severe oral fixation. Don't know if it's about that or what, but like, but honestly, like, if you're not setting up your kid for lifelong failure if they're formula fed. Like, it's kind of crazy.
It is. I was formula fed 100%, and somebody who was
great.
And I'm great. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, so after I had the baby, I was also part of a new moms virtual group, which also is something that I would highly recommend too. What one of the girls were talking about was, you have two people walking down the street. You wouldn't know if one of them was breastfed and one of them was formula fed. It does not matter.
Yeah.
Right.
It's does just, not matter. I feel like it's like, it's, and I actually just want to ask you a question, because you had compared like the parallels of motherhood and dieting. And I just feel like this additional guilt and like weird parameters, like the rules that are contradictory, that reminds me so much of like diet culture and like, you know, the whole first 2 years of our podcast.
Yeah, it's like body shame, mom shame, diet shame. Like, there really isn't a difference when thinking about it in depth between motherhood and dieting, because you want to achieve success at both. You want to be great at both the diet and the mothering. So, you know, you ask all of your friends who have kids for their advice because they know what's best. You ask your friend who's been on all the diets which one is best, because they know what's best. It's right. It like is uncanny to me how similar these are with what we do for setting expectations, with setting goals. Like, we're always looking for the next best thing with diets. We're also looking for the next best thing with parenting and mothering. And we want that inside like scoop about, so I heard you're like, you had a great baby. Like, what's the secret? Like, oh, she has a great body. What's the secret? Like, it just, it feels like there's, yes, like all of it. Like, that's why when you see on Instagram, these women who are, I mean, her name rhymes with malaria, like all of her, like the body of
Milaria.
Like her body postpartum, like that's great, good for her, but that's not real life for a large majority of women.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely.
And I feel like everyone knows that intellectually, but getting people to like internalize it and apply it to themselves, again, without being a mother, I can just see what the things other people struggle with. Getting that to be sort of like internalized, I think, is really probably very challenging.
And you're also comparing yourself. You're like, same thing with diets. What works for you may not work for someone else. Works with parenting, what works for your baby may not work for someone else's baby. And everybody has an opinion. You have opinions from your mother. You have opinions from your mother-in-law. You have your opinions from your doctor, from your friends, and all of, and experts online and TV shows and whatever it is, and podcasts and books.
Social media.
It's social media, the biggest one right now. And like, it all comes down to what works for you. Like, motherhood is truly an individualized approach. There is not a one size fits all, or now one size fits most, I mean.
Yeah.
There really is nothing more individualized than parenting.
Right. Well, I'm glad you said that, because people need to hear that.
I'm going to scream it.
Scream it from the rooftops. So have your like nutrition views changed since being a mom?
Well, my nutrition views actually have become, I think, more like pronounced in this, because I felt like before this, my philosophy is more about like tuning into your body and tuning out the noise in your brain. The same thing holds true with eating in this. You have no room for more real estate in your brain the moment you have your baby to be thinking about calories, logging, the guilt. You're moving on because you're now taking care of your baby. That is first and foremost priority for yourself. And I guess in that fourth trimester, which is the 3 months after you have your child, there is an up and down of what you go through. Like the first stage, of course, like after you have your baby, is you're like in survival mode. Whatever gets delivered to you, whatever you're, you know, able to make ahead of time, like all of those things are really important. What your partner gives you. But
you
then
mean food. You're talking about food?
Yeah.
Okay. When like, you get delivered, you mean like through Amazon.
Right. When you're supporting all of these small businesses by getting food delivery in New York City. But then you go through the next phase of it, which is like, oh my gosh, I haven't eaten a vegetable in whatever time it is, how long it's been. And you're like, oh my gosh, like my body is extremely different. I now need to be dieting. And then you realize for like a minute that that's not applicable, or at least this was for me, like that's not realistic. I need to just do what's best for me mentally rather than thinking about the physical portion for me. And then you go on to the third wave of it, which is accepting your new body. You just created a baby. You just gave birth to a human. You have to show that forgiveness to yourself. And then you have to feel out what is going to work best for you moving forward. Is it going to be meal planning? Is it going to be cooking for 2 or 3 days so you know what's going to be for lunch or for dinner the next night? And you figure it out. There's a lot that you have to do on the fly, and there's not that much thought that I was able to give to it because there is just so much going on.
One of my fears is that like once I eventually, hopefully whatever, have a kid, I obviously you will have gained weight. Mm-hmm. And my fear, and I know I hear you, like logically I get that you won't have time to think about it, but a lot of people do about like losing weight after. Mm-hmm. And like my fear is that how else am I going to lose weight without going on a diet? You know? So like, that's the part. And I get that people naturally, it comes off, but I've through breastfeeding, but I've also heard that that doesn't do anything for some people. So like, that's always kind of in the back of my head.
Yeah.
As like, I go through this, but obviously it's too, you can't think like so ahead, like worry about something that doesn't,
hasn't happened yet.
But to me, it's inevitable.
Yeah, no. And that's okay. If that's a solid fear that's going on right now, because you are preparing for something that may or may not happen, maybe it will. And the first couple of months, though, I have to just be honest with you, is that you shouldn't be worried about it. It's right. It's no longer about you. It is truly just about keeping this human alive. And if that means that when you put like your baby down, that you are going to then spend that time looking up things for you that make you feel good and new diets that you want to try to lose weight, then that's your priority. That may make you feel really good. Or during that time, you may need to be doing a lot of other different things, like cleaning bottles, like getting, you know, the laundry ready, like just making, like cleaning up the house. Like I felt like I was also being, I don't know, like even just checking in with your friends. Like there's a whole different level of priorities after you have your baby. And this is just speaking on behalf of myself. Like I know that I'm never going to be in the same body that I was before I had Ella. It's hard. It's difficult to be able to, you know, not be able to do that, but I'm so much better for it. Now I have her and I look at my body and I'm like, I can't believe that my body was able to do this. I'm so appreciative of what it was able to do. And it takes that is a really hard thing to say and to believe at the same time.
Right. I was going to say, does it make you mad to like simultaneously have this like practice of trying to believe it while also seeing on social media all these people who like, oh, look, I have abs again.
Right. You know what? It's good for them. Like that's all at the end of the day. That's not me. That's not what I'm so going mad. To. You know, that's with anything.
I kind of think about it like, I just know I'm not that person who's going to bounce back with an ab in 6 months. Like, I don't even have an ab now.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, I'm not that person the same way I'm not like a rocket scientist. So I feel like I need to like, but the difference is that society doesn't tell women they need to be rocket scientists. They tell women they need to have abs 6 months later. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely hard, but like, I just also feel like that is so not me. It's like, I might as well fantasize about turning purple, like, because it's just not me. Like, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. No, you know, it's sort of like, I just feel like that is not what my body is. It's not the genetics. Like maybe I could be a little slimmer if I didn't emotionally eat, but I'm never going to be that person who gets an ab 6 months after birth. Like even if I'm not like overweight, I'm still not going to be that ab person.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is all so true. This hits home, like especially going through this right now when you just realize that it's okay. Like I'm okay with it. Even though some moments I'm like, what, why is my body not the same? What? It's okay. Now I am a different person because I now have a baby. And, and that's, it's like, this is this level of acceptance and letting go like that. I was saying to my friend yesterday, like that motherhood is like a perfectionist nightmare because you literally.
Aileen's face is my like eyes. She's like, no.
And you're going to have to tackle it. It's for somebody who's a planner, for somebody who's type A, who wants things done a certain way, who wants results. Motherhood is the biggest challenge because none of it happens. And it may, some of it may, but setting up that unrealistic expectation for yourself is just doing more harm to your body than good and to your mind too.
Well, I have to say the pandemic has helped me like be less of a control freak because there's less to control. Like I can't control any of it.
Right.
So I guess I have that.
You know, it's so funny.
It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be for better and for worse.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm so bad at planning. Like, I don't.
Yeah, you're bad at planning.
I'm so bad at planning, and now I'm have an excuse not to.
Yeah. You know why? Because even in, I was thinking about this, like what life would be like with a newborn in non-pandemic era. Like if Scott and I wanted to go to dinner and Ella was having a fit, like we would have to cancel dinner. That was an expectation and a plan that we had that we just have to be able to be flexible with. And now because we're not doing that, like I wonder what our life is going to transition when life does get back to normal. But it's this idea of just being okay with nothing going your way.
Right. Yeah.
It could still go your way, even if it's not the thing you planned. That's another thing. Like just because you didn't plan for something doesn't mean that it isn't good.
Right. It doesn't mean it's wrong.
Be better. You know, it's just not the same as what you planned.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
But you can set out to have big hopes and dreams.
I have dreams.
I'm mostly fear, like all the scare, the bad stuff. Like that's the stuff that I always am scared of. Like I'm okay with the no planning of like the stuff that doesn't really like matter that much. Like when I said my biggest fear is the weight, that's not really it. That's the stuff that I like I push all the scary stuff back, like compartmentalize that. And then I focus on the stuff that's like a little bit more superficial, like weight gain, but like the stuff that I know we're talking about, we can't control. Like that's really the scary shit. Like all of the unknown of like the sad, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to put it out, but like anything that you really can't control that's negative about, I don't
anything.
Know.
Maybe this is the way about to put it. It is so miraculous when everything in a pregnancy and a conception, pregnancy, childbirth, and like the baby existing. It is so miraculous when all the steps go right. Like I, like just even following a lot more people who I know who have had kids, like the wide array of potential small things that can go wrong. There's so many, like there's so many different options for like small things that can go wrong. So it is so miraculous when everything just kind of goes like fine, even if it's not like what you thought was okay. It's like, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I was living in fear for the majority of the pregnancy with like what you're feeling is just that you just don't know what's going to happen, but you realize that you can get through it, whatever is thrown your way. And you realize that everybody has a story. Everyone is going to have a journey to having a baby somehow, whether it's the way that you think you're going to get it or another way that you're just going to end up with this. So it's just being open to that and not fighting it because like you said, like you can't control this stuff, the millions of things that have to happen.
Right. Right. Well, all right.
On a positive note.
Let's end it on a positive note.
What is your favorite thing about either pregnancy, motherhood, having a baby, other than your baby?
Yeah. Other than having a baby and being like, and looking at her every day. Like what's the peak?
I would say doing something different with my life. Like this has been the biggest challenge I've ever had in my entire life. These last 4 months of keeping her alive is a constant thing on your mind. And when you're able to then look back, like I was often like, you just find yourself looking back at photos. You're like, how did I get through this? How was she so little? How did I take her to the doctors when she was hysterically crying and get through this? And you look back and you're like, I did it because moms are powerful. What's her name from Peloton? Robin.
Yeah. Robin, like, Arizon.
Strong like Arizon. A mother. Yeah. Like that's her like thing, like strong like a mother. There's nothing that you can't do once you feel like you've had a baby. And I would say like this has just been a new life for me. I'm obviously like so grateful that I'm able to talk about it right now to you guys, which hopefully will help more people get more realistic with it and set different expectations for themselves too.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for that positive note. Now we can end it on.
Strong like a mother.
That is great. Strong like a mother. Well, thanks so much for coming back. I mean, it's been forever, but we're so happy to talk to you again. And I'm sure everybody's been wondering what you're up to. I guess you're just chilling, being a mom, taking care of your kid and just...
I started working again in January, and like this has been such an exciting month, getting to my emails, looking ahead towards like what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the year. And I don't know, maybe a new book about comparing motherhood with dieting. Like maybe that's the new thing.
That's interesting. Yeah,
that you should. That sounds
good. The audience heard it here first.
I mean, the Betches mom, like, come on, guys, this is the next step for your growing and evolving community.
Oh, we know. Betches Moms is doing great. Everybody go follow Betches Moms, please.
I will be on there in the next couple of weeks, perhaps.
On social, right?
On social, doing some Q&A with everybody, and hopefully can answer some questions, debunk some myths, and be real about being real.
I love it.
That's awesome. Well,
thank you so much. Good luck. Sure we'll be talking.
Have you not heard her this entire time, by the way?
That one.
No.
Good.
Nice. She's crying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't have heard. Yeah.
Does that not drive you? Is that not like paining you?
I know she's okay. She's with my husband. I know she's fine.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. That's so sweet. I'm going to cry. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much,
you
Tracy. Big hug. Big hug.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon. We're always with you
through thick and thin.
Betches.